Welcome back to another episode of the Statues Podcast. This is your host, Danang, and with me I have my co-host, Crystal. On today's episode, it's going to be a continuation of the previous episode, so we'll just get right into it. We hope you enjoy.
And not that I want to run away from reality, but when I watch things, I want to be able to forget about what was causing me stress for the day or what's going on right now in the world or in my life. That's why I watch, you know, movies with happier endings, because I just want a little bit of an escape. I just want to be able to stop thinking about it for a little bit. Then once it ends, okay, then I will go and, but, you know.
I think that's why I love The Office, because it has realistic components of what love is, what sacrifice is, what real life looks like. Because, mm-hmm. And spoiler, you'll see it later, is that Jim and Pam go through this rough patch in their relationship as a married couple. And it's the most realist scene that I could ever, like, it's such a real scene, because Jim wants to leave to go work at this other job.
Oh, was it in Philly? No, I don't think it was in Philly. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. He has like a startup company, and I don't think he tells her at first because he's trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And she's left in the dark, you know, like wondering what's going on.
And then they get into this fight, and it's what is being said that, like, even I resonate with, was he says, so it's okay for you to leave, but I can't do something for myself. And just that scene right there, when he says it, it's like the most realist thing in a relationship. And that's why I get very, I love TV shows like this, because it's real. These are components in people that it's going to be around for years. Everyone's going to go through it. So when everyone watches it, it's something that sticks. It's something that people can relate to. Mm-hmm. That's why I love shows like that.
It's true.
I think, personally, it's very hard for a movie to become a timeless classic. With TV shows, is a little easier because they have a longer period of time to be able to, you know, go through stuff like that, like Fresh Prince.
Yep.
Like, the reason why Fresh Prince is such a timeless classic is because, not only are the issues that are being talked about in Fresh Prince still related in this day and age, but it's just about this kid and these rich kids getting their life torn apart by their cousin who doesn't live like them, right? So it's a very relatable show.
Yeah. You know what, though, is that I have a hard time, like, being able to decide and differentiate, like, what a timeless classic, because growing up I didn't watch any of these. Like, we didn't have TV, we didn't have, like, all these other things, you know, like your parents. You know, like, you and I grew up the same, you know, but your parents were very, you know, open to new things. And
I didn't watch Fresh Prince until after I finished high school.
I didn't even watch Fresh Prince till, like, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is that you can watch it, like, 3 years ago. But that show was from the 90s.
Yep.
That's why it's a timeless classic, is that even throughout time, it's still relevant. It's still funny. It's still something that we can relate to. And it's from the 90s. Movies like I'll even say, like Disney, right? To me, they're not timeless. If it's a movie that is by Disney that is timeless, and I could possibly see being a timeless classic, number one would be, I only have two, is one would be Raya, and the other is Moana. Mm-hmm. That's it. And why I say those are classic, like, timeless classics, is because...
But you know what? I feel like because the time and dedication they put into researching the culture, the ethnicity, it's
cultural nuances.
Yep. It's very, very, like, I was like, Moana, they did so much research. They flew everybody over, like, the ones that were, like, doing, like, the research. They flew everybody to Hawaii, did so much. And then not only that, too, The Rock was very involved in the entire process, mm-hmm. of that movie.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. But you know what, though? Disney, I'm not saying like Disney is like the greatest out there, but I think there was one movie that I had high expectations for and it just flopped.
Which one?
It was Mulan.
Oh, come on.
The live action.
Mulan was such a communist commercial. I don't even like.
No. I say
the only reason I watched it was number one for the main actress, and number two because Jet Li and Donnie Yen were in it.
No, here. I waited almost an entire year to watch the movie, so I was really excited to see it because, you know, like Mulan growing up was one of the very, you know, few Disney movies that, you know, we watched. So for me, that was like a part of my childhood, and I wanted to see how they were going to recreate it into live action too. So when they did, I was like, oh, okay, you know, like I'm super pumped to see how it would be like compared to, you know, like the cartoon version. You know, they left so many elements out.
Well, okay, even taking out the elements, right? For me, the Mulan movie was like a piece of shit because, and I can honestly say it's a piece of shit. And why I say it is, now if I think from a father's standpoint, right, and I let my daughter watch that. All my daughter learned from watching that dumbass movie was that you have to have fucking superpowers to be able to be doing something as a woman. That's what they learned. There was nothing in it that was like a child could watch and be like, "Daddy, oh, I want to do this because that's what Mulan did." Literally, what that movie taught you was, number one, follow the government. Number two, you have to have superpowers to be able to do something. And number three, the storyline was like dumb as fuck. I grew up with the cartoon Mulan. That Mulan there is untouched. It was well made. They should have just left it there. If they were going to sabotage Mulan live action, not only did they sabotage Mulan, but they sabotaged the actress and the actors that were in it. Because
very controversial.
I grew up with that actress. I grew up with Liu Fei. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Jet Li and Donnie Yen. Mm-hmm. This movie was not meant for that. This movie was not meant for them to be playing in. When you look at it, I heard that the movie was declined by a lot of producers and directors. Mm-hmm. It was done by a white lady.
She directed it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because, like, and you have to understand, like,
there's so much history, though. That's why.
You didn't, like, the movie didn't hit any cultural nuance except for the part of follow the government. That was the only cultural nuance that they got right.
To be loyal, brave, and true. That's literally it.
That's stupid. It's really stupid because loyal, brave, and true does nothing.
You know, when you know, like, when you don't really think about it, and if you're not, like, Asian, you think, oh, okay, she's talking about herself, you know? To be true to yourself, you know, to be loyal. And but then when
Spoiler, loyal, brave, and true, when they're talking about that in Mulan, they're talking about being loyal, brave, and true to the government, not to yourself.
I know. But, like, I'm saying from, like, a different aspect. Like, if you're just watching it for the first time, you know, and you got no idea what's going on, you think that's what they're talking about because they repeat it so much. But then when you know, like, break it down and you're like, oh, shit. Like I said, because Disney's has done quite a bit of live actions for a lot of their cartoon movies. They did one for Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast.
Aladdin.
And I think Mulan is also, like, a part of that installation. I think they tried to do a Little Mermaid one, but... Or maybe that was under somebody else, but those are the only that Alice in Wonderland. Did I say that already? No. I don't think so.
I don't even know Alice in Wonderland was Disney. But I didn't grow up with it. It wasn't something that I enjoyed. Like, personally for me, yeah, I grew up with Disney, but, like, I didn't like Disney. Like, even as a kid, I knew I didn't like Disney. It's too...
Too happy-go-lucky for you?
Not happy-go-lucky. It's a very unrealistic view on love and life. And even as a kid, yeah, I get it. But that's why kids grow up thinking
love is a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I'm going to teach my daughter about love, then, I'm going to teach my daughter about real love, but happy love. Mm-hmm. And as she goes through life and she realizes that love is not all this and this, I'll be there to guide her. But Disney is so unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've tried to do a lot of the live actions for the cartoons, and I didn't like that one movie, but everything else was just, it was just well done in terms of, like, because I've watched all of it. But if we're just talking about, like, it really is unrealistic how they portray, love. Because it's not just, you meet your Prince Charming, you're going to live happily ever after. That's not the case. It's there's so much more to it, too.
There's so much more to it. Okay. And what I'm going to say is very controversial, and I know that it is that it's killed the chivalry part of what a relationship is, because females have this. Once again, this is just my straight opinion. It probably change eventually, but when you look at how girls nowadays in this generation look at love, right? I don't need a man to open the door. I don't need a man to do this. And I don't need a man to do that. What do men do? What do men do? I grew up like that. Let me go open the door for you. Let me go do this for you. Let me go do that for you. So I grew up like that.
So now
it's at a point where it's like, what do you want me to do? Do you want my wallet? Do you want money? Is that what love is now to these girls?
I understand where you're coming from, because I know quite a few people like that, where they say they don't need a man, but when it comes down to it, they say, but you're a man. How come you don't do it? Yeah. That's your job. Yeah. That's your duty. You're a man. You should be able to do this, this, and this. But at the same time, they're all like, women are strong and we don't need a man. So I get that.
And it's not that I'm saying that women are not strong.
And this what I'm saying doesn't is, apply to all. It's just...
Because what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that women are not strong, but I'm saying that we as men also know what chivalry looks like. So let us be a little chivalrous to you guys.
I like it, though. It's just the small things.
No, because now as men, like especially for me, how I am. If I find that a woman is dressed very beautifully or she looks very beautiful, I will go up and say, hey, you look very beautiful today. I love the way you're dressed. Okay, great. It used to work back in the day. Women would love the compliment. But now it's at a point where it's like, are you just saying that I look good? That's it? That I don't have brain? Where the fuck did I say you didn't have a brain? I'm just saying you look good. It's at a point where we can't say anything, but women expect us to say something. And then when we do, it's used against us.
Yeah.
And that's why I say is like Disney doesn't do anyone any better, because they have this mindset. Like for example, like the only movie that I actually enjoyed watching a kid watch was Frozen, because that was right. As a woman, you don't need, true love is not from a man. Mm-hmm. True love comes from you and understanding what you have in front of you. Yes, that's true love. That is what I want my daughter to learn. That is what I want your baby sister to learn when she watches it. That is beautiful. Frozen is one of those movies that I will honestly stand by for the rest of my life.
Frozen, I remember when it coming out, people were like very shocked, because the way that it was going, like, throughout the movie as you were watching it, this girl has this twisted idea of like what love is, and it's not twisted, but it's very like
it's every girl has
in a bubble.
No, because it's what every girl has right now. Mm-hmm. When you grow up, that's what it looks like. Yeah. That's what love looks like to girls, because that's what it's being taught.
But then throughout it, and then at the end, love, true love, didn't come from a man. It came from her sister.
Yeah,
the love she has for her sister, like the love they have for each other, even if they didn't see each other for such a long time, that's what they had. That was real love. And so that's why I, like you, I will stand by that movie, because it was beautiful.
Because nowadays, and once again, I say this from my perspective, is nowadays, love only has one meaning. That's between a partner and you. So whether that be woman to woman, man to woman, mm-hmm. or woman to man.
Or however gender yeah. it is.
But that's what love looks like, right? But true love isn't like that. I grew up with brothers and sisters, and throughout my entire childhood, my grandma, my grandpa, my dad, my mom, my aunts, my uncles, we grew up thinking true love is from them. True love is from my family. No one's going to come save your ass when you need it. Yeah. They will. Mm-hmm. They are the only ones that will forgive you when you have done something that is truly unforgivable. That is called true love. So I grew up around that. But when you talk about love to like people that even we know, mm-hmm. when they think of love, they're like, oh, I want a man to love me. Yeah. I want this. I want that out of a relationship. I want this out of a... It becomes so unrealistic. That's why you're single. That's why you're begging for love, because it's unrealistic. These views of love is because that's what TV taught you. That's what Disney taught you. That's what yeah. that's what's being taught to you by your peers.
Yep. No, I know exactly what you mean. Like, you know, when people talk about... When I talk about our relationship... Because the rough times, I don't need to go and air out our business to other people. So, you know, it's not that I, you know, put on a, you know, fairy tale look. I explain to them, you know, love, what we have is not that easy. But they're like, oh, you guys are such relationship goals. You know, like, you guys are perfect. And I'm like, no, but no, what we're
they
not.
Don't, but what they don't understand and what they don't see from a relationship is that the growth of a relationship, right? Because when people are in a relationship, you're in a relationship thinking it's you and them. That's it. Mm-hmm. But when growth happens in a relationship, what happens is that circle also grows. So it's no longer just you and her. It's you, her, and let's say, in our case, your sister. And then it became you, me, your sister, my family. And then it became you, me, my family. Your sister, your family. Mm-hmm. That circle will constantly grow. And if you, yourself, cannot figure that out, the relationship, what happens is it gets, it's like a push and pull.
It stops growing.
Yeah, it stops growing and it becomes an aggressive relationship where it's like, oh, can you come out and do this? No, I got to go with my family. Why? I'm your boyfriend mm-hmm. or I'm your girlfriend. No, that's not how it works. You know, like with you and me, the reason why it was so rough for us was because for a long time it was just, okay, if your family is like that, then okay, I'll make certain sacrifices to be able to accommodate. But then it got to a point where in a real relationship, and what I mean by real relationship, I'm talking about what I've seen so far from people that have very successful relationships is, if I make sacrifices, are you willing to make certain sacrifices as well so that we can both be accommodated for what we want in this relationship? Mm-hmm. And that's when the relationship is built stronger, is built better. It ain't no Disney relationship. It ain't no you're the maid and a man's going to come and put a damn slipper on you and you're going to walk off away a princess. Yeah. That's not right. That's not real. It's not about that. It's about... If you want a quality, then give a quality. If you want real love, then are you willing to sacrifice certain things in your life for that real love? You know, I'm not saying that I had toxic people around me, but what I'm saying is that I had very young people around me that didn't understand that concept of mm-hmm. sacrifice and of real love, right? That's why... I'm such a critic with film because I don't like films that are like, they give off this impression that love looks a certain way or life looks this certain way. I like movies and I like films and I like TV, like like The Office, where it's like, you're going to have that ignorant boss. Okay, you're going to have it. You're going to have someone like him in your life.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything. But as you see throughout the show, his people are teaching him these things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't say that. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, I can't do certain things. That's real. Mm-hmm. You can't go and just blast him and think that he knows.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's like there's this one scene in The Office that is actually a very beautiful scene, is when, I can't remember what's happening in it, but Jim and Michael are managing and co-managing. And then Jim is trying to get down to the facts of it, but Michael is goofing off. And he's goofing off with the rest of his people, playing like these stupid role-playing games. And then Jim yells at him. Jim yells at him, Michael, we don't have time for this. Michael brings him into his office and he tells him, I know we don't have time for this, but they need us to be this way. They need to be distracted. And then Jim gets it. Jim gets why Michael does that. There are going to be moments like that in real life. That shit happens in real life. That's why I love watching shows like that, because it's real. It happens. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't like watching things that aren't real. Like, I love watching Inuyasha. I love watching Dragon Ball. But to me, there are still realistic aspects in those.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like watching, like, Disney stuff and things that don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
That, like, fairy tale picturesque ending. You just don't like it when it seems too perfect.
You know why? Because it'll cause trauma for a child. It'll cause trauma for a person as they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll have looked at their parents, okay, and I'm saying this from my point of view, is you'll look at your parents as this like fairy tale marriage. And then as you get older, you start to realize there are cracks in that marriage, or this marriage isn't the way Disney had put it out to be. And then as you get older, you start to realize, oh, it's fake. My parents do have problems. My parents are actual people. My parents are just like me. Disney doesn't help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kids grow up watching these things, so they're not used to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it becomes a way where they might not look at it as trauma, but it is trauma, because now you don't know how to cope with it. You don't know what's going on. So you have to put things together yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, for me, I'm not anti-Disney. I love Disney, okay? I love watching their shit.
Really? I'm joking. No. No, you're not. I get where you're coming from, because, you know, like, growing up, my parents only allowed us to watch Disney, you know? Nothing violent, nothing sad. You know, they wanted us to be happy all the time, you know? So that's why, like, when that reality check came and slowly I started seeing things,
you saw the cracks.
I did, and it hurt a lot. Yeah. That's why I understand when you say that,
because it's traumatized you to a point where, because they weren't there to explain it,
mm-hmm.
but when you saw the cracks, it became something that put a wedge in between what you saw, what you wanted to see, and then what they really were.
Yep. And, you know, like, always talking about it, you know, like, my parents will always be like, oh, no, we're fine, we're fine. So, you know, you say that, they're your parents, you're supposed to trust what they say. So you're like, okay, they're fine. You don't have to worry about it. Just go back and pretend none of this ever happened. So I get it, you know, like, the picturesque ending that Disney, and not just Disney, but Disney seems to be the company that always makes sure that they have happy endings to everything. It's hard, you know, and it's not that it's not real, it's just not, it's not realistic.
That's why I like the new way that Disney's going with like Frozen, Moana, Raya. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that they're going with those, that's perfect. That's the way it should have been. That's what is real. And like, even watching Raya, spoiler, I'm not going to give everything, but spoiler, the way countries fight, the way we as people fight with each other and are not willing to, like, this goes back to the whole cancel culture thing. That's how I look at what Raya was almost like, where you did something wrong. So you're always going to be wrong. And when I need help and you want to reach out and you genuinely want to help me, no, you already did wrong, so you're wrong for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's why I loved it, was because that message, it relates to so much in this day and age.
Yeah.
If people can just look at that message and be like, what are they trying to say? Because people make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. You're still young. You're going to, your thought process and your brain hasn't grown to understand what is truly out there. The world that you understand is very small.
That's true.
But once you start, and I'm saying this not as someone who's traveled, but once you travel and you meet people, the way they think is different. The way other people talk is different. The way they process things will become different.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that the world doesn't understand. They only understand what's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love Raya and I love Frozen and I love Moana. These are Disney movies that they have done justice in the message that they are trying to give out.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is the movie beautifully made, the storyline is beautiful, but the message as well. These are things that I actually appreciate from Disney. I don't, like, it's like I said, times are very different.
Yep.
You know, back in the 90s with Hercules, Mulan, like all those. Yeah. Those coming out, I get why it is like that. Because back in the day, it was like that.
Yeah.
But times are changing and so is Disney. And that's why I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the comfort of knowing that our kids are going to grow up watching, you know, movies that are fit for the times. It may not be, you know, I guarantee in like 10, 20 years it's not going to be the same, but maybe they'll make a movie that'll be better fitted.
Yep.
You know, like I grew up and I really enjoyed Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie. That movie is one of my favorite movies. Hercules, and
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yep. I love that movie. But then when you look at it as an adult, because now when we look at these movies as we're adults, we're like, oh, shit. They really did misconstrue a lot of the way we looked at things.
Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, the times were different. And, you know, we were going, like, back then, it was a really rough time, too. So, you know, like, so it people needed a little bit of happiness so that it could fuel them, so that they wouldn't have to think about the rough times that they were going through. Because it was very hard back then. You know, like,
yep.
So I totally get it. I totally get why every movie that, you know, came out was a little bit, like you said, misconstrued and very, very happy. Very happy.
Yeah. No, and I get it. I think that's why I really did love Raya the most. Because the way everything was beautifully written, the cultural nuances that they had, you know, we as Asians could look at that and be like, oh, that was kind of cool. Like, we may not be of that, you know, we may not be that, from that specific culture.
Yeah.
But our culture also share the same
It's a reflection features. Of one another. Yeah. You know, just different ways of seeing it. But the intentions, the meanings, the stories will always be the same and will just pass down.
Yep.
I totally get it.
Yeah. No, I think that's, and because it's like you said at the beginning, I was from television broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I look at things so critically without thinking about me thinking about that.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard for me to watch movies. That's why, like, the first warning that I got when I went to college was, warning, when you go through this program, and you finish, the way you look at movies is going to be very different. I laughed it off until I finished. And then it's ruined how I watch movies.
Mm.
You look for these You know, you always see certain things that most people wouldn't see.
Yeah, it's like to the naked eye, pretty much. You know, yeah. Like if even the small things of like, oh, there's a crew member in that shot, you know, but because to the untrained eye, you don't notice it, you know, but it's small things like that. Or for you guys, it'll be like, oh, you know, they could have done this better. They could have done this better. That's why I think for Adam Driver, I remember hearing in an interview that he doesn't watch his movies. And if I remember correctly, he says it's because it's already done. But when you watch it again, you think, how could I do something different? How could I have expressed this better? Oh, I could have done this better, this. So I feel like for you, when you watch it, you could be like, oh, how can they have done it better? Maybe this should have been done instead. This should have been executed differently as well, too. You're watching it from a critical standpoint.
Yeah. No, and I think that's why, like, even Adam Driver, the way you said it, you know, the way he said it, I do agree, is that you become very critical the second time, mm-hmm. of yourself and of the film, right?
Yeah.
So let's say even going through life, like as you do certain things, you're always going to be critical if you look at it twice. Mm-hmm. That's why for me, when I watch movies and I really enjoy it, I watch it once. Because now what I remember from the first time, it just stays as a beautiful memory. Mm-hmm. If later I watch it and it becomes and the second time I watch it, it's got to be after a long time, maybe like 2-3 years. And then I watch it and it's like, it's like brand new again.
Yeah.
That's why for me, I haven't rewatched any of the Marvel movies or any of my favorite movies.
Yeah. You know, I might not have a critical eye like you do, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because when the first movie of the Star Wars trilogy, I forgot what it was called. But you know what I'm talking about? The first one that came out, I watched it over 10 times. Not out of, you know, because of, you know, I wanted to, but because that year I took a summer English class to update a mark. And that was the choice of movie that my teacher had. So it means we watched it in class at home, because we also had to write a paper about it. So imagine having to watch that so many times and you're just so sick and tired of it, and you know exactly what's about to happen, and you have to write it as if, you know, like as if you're not annoyed by it. Because at that point, I couldn't watch it anymore. I was just so sick and tired of it. And I was like, okay, done.
Yeah.
I'm not watching this ever again. And since then, I haven't.
Yep.
But it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
I just can't watch it anymore.
That's the thing. Like, yo, movies can be amazing and great. Mm-hmm. But if they're amazing and great, I'm not going to watch it twice. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of my favorite Korean movies, I don't watch twice. Because if I do, it ruins the what they call movie magic for me. Right? Yeah. When a movie is made, it's got magic. When you watch it, it throws you in there. That's why a lot of movies that you and I, we go to the movie theaters and we watch, I don't rewatch. Because the movie theater experience was... Like, for example, like the Avengers, when we went to the Avengers.
Oh, yes.
And when Captain America picks up Thor's hammer. In movie theaters, is extremely different from when you're watching it at home.
Yep.
Because in movie theaters, everyone's in awe with you. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
You're feeling the vibe.
You feel the vibe of what the movie theater is giving off. So when I watched it at home, and the scene came up, it didn't give me the same hype.
Yeah. Right?
And so that's why from that point, I just didn't watch a single movie again. Because a lot of the...
Even Captain Marvel, we only watched that in theaters.
And that was it.
I haven't watched it at home since. Mm-hmm. And I know what you mean. It's not the same. When you watch it with other people and they're like just as excited as you are, you feel the adrenaline and you feel the room. You feel it.
Yep.
So I think that's why I don't think I have I haven't watched it since. And when you put it like that, I get it. I mm-hmm. really do.
Because when you're watching it and experiencing with other people and other people that you don't know of, mm-hmm. and you find and it's like an awe moment, and everyone's like, oh, you feel that. You feel the way everyone is shocked.
Yeah.
But when you're watching it at home and it's just you and me or something, and we watch it, it's like, if we've already experienced the awe moment, mm-hmm. it's not the same.
Yeah, you know, even like, for example, I don't think this was a popular movie, but it was a funny movie. Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we watched it in theaters. I think it was only a handful of us, but just watching it in theaters, it was just hilarious because everybody was laughing.
Yeah.
And then when you watch, but I haven't watched it since at home because it's like, oh, okay. It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. Like, movies, when you watch in theaters, mm-hmm. it just has this, it's got this feeling that you can't get anywhere else.
You know what, though, is that I remember this. We watched all the Star Wars movies, you and I. We watched it in deep box seats. I think those are the seats that, like, move along, too, with the movies. That's why it was enjoyable the first time around. Because, you know, as, you know, like, the, you know, spaceship is moving, you know, mm-hmm. like, the seat's moving, too. You're, like, you know, moving left, right, because you're dodging something. So,
yeah.
That's why, like, we watch movies in theaters. Although, I gotta say, though, prices are a little expensive. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to just be there in the moment, it's fine. That's the same, like, Avatar.
Yeah.
The blue people.
Yeah. No, and that's why when people say you're paying for the theater experience, I've never understood what they were saying until, like, a movies like Star Wars and The Avengers. Because that is what they call the theater experience. It's not what you're sitting in, but it's who you're experiencing it with. And when you, like, I love moments at movie theaters where the movie is so good that at the end of the movie, everyone gets up and claps.
Yeah, no, I get that.
That right there is what they call the theater experience. And you only get that when you go there. Mm-hmm. That is something that I appreciate about movies. And that's why I love film. Is, you know, the film is good when everyone gets up. Yeah. It's one of those where either everyone gets up and claps or everyone just walks down in silence.
Yep.
You know?
You know, also, it's not even just about, like, movie theaters. This also applies to, like, actual, like, theater production. I've gone to two, and they were the best experience ever. We watched The Fiddler on the Roof and Guys and Dolls. Fiddler on the Roof was amazing. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. And at the end, you know, like, of each scene, you know, like, you're so happy because, you know, there's a new setup, you know, the story's continuing. But at the end of it, everybody was just like, at the end, you know, like, it's finally done, you know, like, we're gonna go home. Everybody's clapping. And I get it, you know, like, you have to give props to these actors and actresses and the dancers, you know, and the musicians, you know, the orchestra.
You're appreciating every aspect of it.
Exactly. That's why, like, it's like you said, I didn't understand that term mm-hmm. until you go through it and you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You really feel it. It's so hard to describe in words because this feeling is different for each person, but it's mutual.
Yeah. No, that's why, you know, I think now that I've been in, you know, this field of work for so long, I actually appreciate these small things a lot more, mm-hmm. like the theater experience, because, you know, it's something that gives an experience that people will remember for a very long time.
Yeah.
That's why I love it. It's mm-hmm. it's a memory. It's an experience that grows on people. Mm-hmm. You experience it once, and then you're kind of just like, oh, you know what, the next movie, let's come back. And then the next movie, let's go back. Because for you and I, that's why for Star Wars, every time Star Wars came out, we went to the movie theaters.
We always set a date for it. We always, like, you know, it's out, we're going to make sure we go.
I think for us, it was Star Wars, Harry Potter, and then the Marvel movies. Those were the ones that we really, I think, went to the movie theaters for.
Oh, you know, you're right. When you were saying Harry Potter, I was like, Harry Potter, what are you talking about? But I know what you're talking about. The Fantastic Beasts
series. Yeah, the Fantastic Beasts series.
Oops, I enjoyed it.
No. And for me, I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan. I don't like movies like that.
Yeah.
But when you watch it in theaters, it's a different experience. It makes you really enjoy and make you, like, really, like, focus.
Yeah. You know, like, I've watched it a few times. I've watched it, obviously, in theaters. I've watched it twice at home. But it's just not the same as the first time you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, just, like, maybe it has something to do with the surround sounds too.
Maybe. It's a lot more immersive.
Yeah, it's a lot more that you hear the music, you hear, like, the sound of the, you know, the chirpings, the train tracks, you know, the rain. Everything is so specific and so much better that you're really immersed to it. I think that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah. It's a experience that is very breathtaking when you get to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I will always remember Avengers Endgame because when Captain America has Thor's hammer, the way the entire theater, first it was quiet, and then it was...
like the clapping.
It was just the clapping and everyone going, yeah! You know, and it's that experience. I'm talking about that very moment mm-hmm. in a theater that now I realize what they mean by, you know, like that theater experience.
Yeah. You know, like it's expensive, but you know, like it's so worth it. I don't mind paying, you know, like because between the two of us, it's almost like $40, like $50. So I don't mind paying the $50 for the both of us because we're both enjoying that movie.
You know what it's like for me? It's like those people that watch travel vlogs. Mm-hmm. And you watch and you're like, oh, that's such a beautiful city. And then you talk to your friend about it. And then, but that friend is like, yeah, but I went there.
Yeah.
It's like, I went there. I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's way more beautiful than you think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those experiences mm-hmm. where it's like, that's what the movie theater experience is.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Right? Because a film already is made with the intention of awing their audience.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch it in theaters, that awe experience is now, it's like on a hype train, and everyone rides that hype train,
mm-hmm.
and it's when you yourself think like you're not gonna get involved,
yep.
But when it happens, you're right there with everyone.
That's true.
That's why I think. For me, that's what movies do, right? That's what movies do for me. For TV shows, it's one of those where it's like a personal experience. TV shows are a very personal experience.
Yeah.
So when you're watching those, it becomes a lot more personable. It's from you to them.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, it's you to like a huge audience. And that's what it was meant for. Okay, well, it looks like we've gone about an hour and 44 minutes, so we're going to probably cut this into two parts.
Probably. Yep. It's pretty long. I'm surprised. You know, I wasn't expecting us to talk for this long today.
It was just a good conversation.
Just, you know, just because, you know, like, I didn't know how this conversation was going to go. I didn't know that we were going to be so invested and we had so much to say about it. But I'm happy, you know, like that it went this way.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for tuning in and listening. This episode will probably be cut into two parts. So, tune in for both. Thank you once again. This is your host, Danang, and your co-host, Crystal, there. And we're signing off. Thank you.